Special day. Obviously, today is definitely a day that brings out very strong feelings and passionate feelings in a variety of ways. And I want to just begin by sharing a reflection, something that I think about every year on Yom Ha'atzmaut. And that is, on the one hand, every Jew understands and feels an unbelievable simcha, an unbelievable hakar satov, an unbelievable experience on a day like today. And at the same time, because of the world in which we live, what I mean by that is because of a world where we have so much of a technological interaction with one another, and because we have a means of seeing what everyone else is doing, and very often to hear what everyone else is thinking, it becomes very hard in general. This is true not just about today. It becomes very hard in general to formulate your own ideas and opinions and to be able to think independently. That's a challenging thing in general, in life in general, and it's particularly true, I think, when it comes to formulating religious ideas and how I deeply attach myself to something of a spiritual nature. Am I able to formulate and to develop a real sense of deep emotional and internal spiritual attachment to anything? Or do things often stay on a more superficial level? And certainly when it comes to a day like today, where there is, again, a lot of external expression of our love and our support and our hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael and for the modern state of Israel, it's very important that we sometimes pull back into almost a quieter corner and be able to reflect on it in a very deep way and ask myself, and I ask myself this every year, am I swept up by the excitement of the day because it's sort of been programmed into the day? Or do I really feel this unbelievably deep sense of hakaras hatov and this unbelievably deep appreciation and understanding of what it means to have Eretz Yisrael the way that we do, in fact, have it today? Let me just give you an example based on something I saw in the writings of Rav Charlap, the Talmud of Rav Kook. There's an amazing Gemara, a very Eretz Yisrael de Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksuvos. Maseches Ksuvos, Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, or Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet, if you prefer, especially on a day like today, we should probably change the Havara a little bit. Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet. Right? Katuv Maseches Ktubot. It says in Maseches Ksuvos, I can't, I'll try my best. It says in Maseches Ksuvos that Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, like the good old days, before the beautiful airport was built the way that it is today, when you would literally get off the plane and people would get down and kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Now you basically walk into a shopping mall when you arrive. But in the good old days when you used to have to hop on a bus and you'd literally step down, your feet would touch down, and many people, their lips would touch down on the ground, the very soil of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, the Gemara describes, would literally find himself rolling in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. His love of Eretz Yisrael was so deep, he was rolling around on the ground. Shenamar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Parakuf Beis, Ki Rotsu Avadecha Es Avaneha, that the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally desire the dirt, literally desire the rocks of Eretz Yisrael, Ves Afara Yichonenu. Such a love, literally for the earth of Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Chiya found himself rolling around in the dirt with such a passion and such a love. Now what's interesting is if you look in Rashi, on the side of that page of the Gemara, Rashi writes the following, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha, ves afara yichonenu. Okay, that's the pasuk in Tehillim that the Gemara quoted. Tell us more, Rashi. Give us a commentary. Explain to us something about this Gemara that we weren't understanding. And Rashi doesn't comment. And many Mefarshim were curious, so why did Rashi repeat the pasuk that the Gemara quoted? No commentary, no explanation. Literally just citing the words of David HaMelech, Ki ratzu avadecha es avanev es afara yichonin. Now I'm not sure what an academic scholar would make of this Rashi, but I'll tell you what the profound heart of Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the Talmud of Rav Kook, thought Rashi was perhaps, again, in a very deep way, alluding to. Why did Rabbi Chiya roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael? Well, maybe he rolled around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael because the pasuk says that if you really love Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Charlap, Rashi did say something. Rashi did make a comment. You know what Rashi's comment was? Rashi took out the word Shene'emar. Perhaps what Rashi's alluding to is what inspired Rabbi Chiya to roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael? Was it because David HaMelech wrote that if you're serious about Eretz Yisrael, you roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael? Was it that someone said that if you're serious about the modern state of Israel, you have to dress in an Israeli flag all day? And if that's how you express yourself, that's kavaldik. But what Rashi is telling us is that to Rabbi Chiya, this was the most natural expression of his love of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't do it just because it was a formalized thing. It wasn't because David HaMelech said, this is how you're supposed to feel. But he really felt that type of connection to Eretz Yisrael. It came from within. And I challenge myself every year on this day to make sure that in all the excitement, with all the streamers and the balloons, which are beautiful and make the day so beautiful, right? But to be able to say, am I doing this just as a formality? This is another check, so to speak, in the Jewish calendar year? Or do I feel like Rabbi Chiya, who wasn't rolling in the dirt because King David told him you're supposed to roll in the dirt if you love Eretz Yisrael? But he was rolling in the dirt because from deep within himself, he had that very deep appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, one of the other challenges for a Jew who's currently sitting right now, or standing right now, in Washington Heights, New York, and again, when I've had the opportunity to speak to the women of Stern the last couple of years, we always reflect on this, is the challenge of Yom HaTzmaut in Washington Heights, New York. Right? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? If we love Eretz Yisrael so much, what are we doing here? And as if to add insult to injury, this past week's Parsha really rubs it in our face. What did we read just this past Shabbos? A very painful pasuk in Parshas Acharimus. Al titamu b'chol eila ki b'chol eila nitmu hagoyim asher ani mishaleach mipnechem. Be careful not to defile the land, like some of the people of the world who came and didn't treat my land with the proper respect. Because what happened? V'titma ha'aretz ve'efkod avona aleha. That those who, God forbid, bring negativity, bring tumah upon the land of Israel, v'takia aretz es yoshva. Then the land will spit out those people who aren't worthy of being in Eretz Yisrael. It's a painful pasuk because Rav Avram Azulai, who was the grandfather of the famed Chida, the Chida, one of the great Sephardi Torah geniuses of the 1700s, had a grandfather, Rav Avram Azulai, wrote a sefer called Chesed LaAvram. And in there he writes, first I'll tell you the positive side. The positive side is that means if you look at any Jew in Eretz Yisrael and you say, why is that person in Eretz Yisrael? They seem to be violating what the pasuk says. They're not so religious. Well, guess what? The very fact that they are in Eretz Yisrael must mean that Hashem sees them as someone who's very kaddish. And by extension, the flip side is, if for whatever reason, even with good excuses and good explanations as to why we're not in Eretz Yisrael, there has to be a feeling of unworthiness. Why did the land spit us out? Why aren't we in Eretz Yisrael? Now again, it could be that there's a higher calculation. This is only one pasuk. This is only one approach. But there is a feeling, a painful feeling, that I experience every year as I try to express my love in a Karas Tov for Eretz Yisrael and for Medina Yisrael. What am I doing here? Why am I here? If I'm like Rabbi Chiya rolling in the dirt, if it's so real to me, so why am I here and not there? And it's a very painful thing that again, we just read this past Shabbos. But I think, you know, I'll be cholik, I'll argue on one of my dear friends who always says that basically Yom HaTzmaut in America is a joke and it's pointless, and if we were serious, we'd be in our... So I don't think that's entirely true. I think while we have to, on the one hand, be pained and be challenged by this day, to ask myself and hopefully come up with either a good explanation or call nefesh b'nefesh by the end of the day, right, as to why I'm in America... At the same time, I think there is tremendous value to making sure that even if we're not yet, emphasis on the word yet, even if we're not yet in Eretz Yisrael, but we're still thinking about Eretz Yisrael, and we're still talking about Eretz Yisrael, and it's very much a part of our lives. He'emanti ki adaber. We say in Halal, he'emanti ki adaber. The Bali Musar explained, he'emanti. I believe it ki adaber because I say it. And while emor ma'at va'aseh harbeh, like it says in Pirkei Avos, talk is cheap, we have to do, but at the same time, if I'm not even talking about it, if it's not even part of my language, if wanting to know what's happening in Eretz Yisrael is not at the forefront of my concerns at all times, then I've really lost myself. And therefore, hopefully, he'emanti, I'll deepen my emunah in it, I'll become more connected to it, and I'll want to eventually be there. He'emanti ki adaber. Kedoshim tiyu, we read this Shabbos, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. Explain the Kotzker Rebbe in the Sefer Emes V'Amunah. Kedoshim tiyu, make contact with Kedusha. Even if you can't fully get there. Ki kadoshani, Hashem's kedusha is totally beyond. But you know what? When you begin to experience kedusha, you start to say, wow, if I can lift myself to this level of kedusha, you imagine what Hashem must be? What the kedusha of Hashem must really be? And I want to have a contact with kedusha. If I can't be in Arzeinu HaKadosha, I want to be able to make contact with Eretz Yisrael. To at least have a connection to Eretz Yisrael, a real connection to Eretz Yisrael. Not a superficial one. Where it's part of my language, and it's part of my thoughts, and it's part of the feelings of my heart, on a daily basis, that Klal Yisrael's place is Eretz Yisrael. That's my place. And again, I'm not there yet, for whatever reason. But it's my place, and I feel deeply, deeply connected to it. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm talking about it, and I'm making contact with it. There's a medrash that says that a Jew needs to constantly ask himself or herself the following question. When are my actions going to reach the level of the avos? Matai yagiu ma'asai l'masei avosai. When are my behaviors going to be as impactful as what? As the avos and the imams. Am I the next Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? Am I the next Sarah Rivka Rachel Aleya? That's how a Jew is supposed to think. So that's a very overwhelming medrash. Matai yagiu ma'asai l'masei avosai. When are my behaviors going to reach the level of the avos? Realistically, probably never. So is this medrash supposed to cause depression? Set unrealistic goals for ourselves? What were Chazal getting at in the Tana de Be'elio when it has this medrash? So many Balei Chassidus, Sefer Chassidus explain, Rav Simcha Bunu of Persistcha, and many others explain. Yagiyu can mean to reach, to arrive, to get somewhere. But what else does the word Yagiyu mean? Negiya, to make contact, to touch. If I'm not there yet, can I at least touch it? Am I at least reaching for it? Do I have an outstretched arm to it? Towards it? Am I speaking about Eretz Yisrael? Am I thinking about Eretz Yisrael? Am I at least making contact from abroad, even if I'm not able to be in Eretz Yisrael yet? Am I defining my values and defining my goals in accordance with the way Jews live and have always longed to live and will eventually come to entirely live in Eretz Yisrael? Is that my norm? Is that my home base? Does it feel comfortable to me? Is that where I immerse my heart and my mind? And my direction in life is all centered around that. What's my normal? I read something very interesting. Rabbi Norman Lamb, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, give him the titles he deserves. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb gave a drush in the 1960s. And he spoke about what does it mean to be a normal Jew? How do you define normal? And he quoted an unbelievable passage from a book by an author, passed away in the 1970s, someone by the name of Joseph Wood Kruch. Not sure if you're familiar with Joseph Wood Kruch, spelled K-R-U-T-C-H, Kruch. And he has a volume of essays called Human Nature and the Human Condition. And in that volume of essays, Joseph Wood Kruch talks about average and normal. What is the definition of average? What is the definition of normal? And do I keep them properly aligned, or do I sometimes use the terms erroneously? So he says the following. Average is what are people doing? What does the average person do? Normal, he says, has to reflect an ideal, how it should be. Average is how it is right now, and normal is what it should be. And there's a great danger, a sociological danger, when we start labeling what's average as normal. When I define my norms based on what does the average person do? Because the average person may not be trusted. In particular, if I'm a member of the Jewish people, that tiny percentage of humanity called the Jewish people, all the more so if I identify as an Orthodox Jew who's interested in following Torah and mitzvos, my normal is going to be very different than the average of the world. Rabbi Lamb brings the following. The average person, the average human being, has 1.9 legs. Because, unfortunately, there are some people who don't have any legs. There are some people, unfortunately, only have one leg. The average person in the world has 1.9 legs. So would we say that that's the norm? That's the normal thing to have? If I use average and normal interchangeably, so then if I was born with two legs, two healthy legs, I should probably, he says, cut off a small portion of one of my legs in order to be normal. But average and normal are not the same thing. Average and normal are not the same thing, and I can't define my normal based on what's average. So how does that play into my relationship with Eretz Yisrael? The average Jew, although the numbers are pretty close these days, the average Jew might still live in Chutz La'aretz. Again, what percentage of Jewry is no longer in Eretz Yisrael. We're very close to crossing the halfway point. Could be we have. I don't know how precise the studies are. Right? But for a long time, the average Jew lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. The danger is when I think that it becomes normal to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. When that becomes my ideal, when that becomes my norm, when I'm no longer thinking, Matay yagiu maisei lemasei avosai, when am I going to travel to Eretz Yisrael the way that Avraham did once upon a time? Lech lecha me'aretzecha. And if I'm not traveling there quite yet, am I at least reaching for it? Am I making contact? Do I have a sense of what's normal? That the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, rolling in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, which might seem kind of strange, is in fact very normal. And it's a natural expression of a Jew who understands what Eretz Yisrael is. I want to read you a line from the Chassam Sofer. I wrote along a few svarim this morning. I want to read you a line from the Chassam Sofer in the Torah Moshe in Parshas Ve'eschana. Of course, Parshas Ve'eschana is when Moshe Rabbeinu is davening his 515 tefillos. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. I deserve to be in Eretz Yisrael. Begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say he tried 515 different approaches to prayer to get into Eretz Yisrael. What's the gematria of the word Ve'etchanan? And I pleaded with Hashem, 515. Chazal say he davened 515 tefillos. What's the gematria of the word tefillah, by the way? Tefillah is not spelled properly with a yud. Tav pei lamed hei is also 515. It was the most essential prayer that was ever prayed. He tried every possible way of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For one purpose, for one goal, to get to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Moshe see in Eretz Yisrael? Let's put on Moshe's glasses. Not the average approach to Eretz Yisrael. Let's look at the normal, the normative, the halachic approach. Right? The way the Torah wants us to see Eretz Yisrael, the way Hashem wants us to see Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this line from the Chassam Sofer. It's startling. It's half a line. But it was worth it taking this sefer off my shelf in Bergenfield this morning and bringing it to the heights to share these 10 words of the Chassam Sofer with you. Listen to what he writes. Ki karka Eretz Yisrael. The earth of Eretz Yisrael, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael that Rabbi Chi was rolling around in. Kidushasa atzuma yoser mishamayim sha'al chutzlaretz. That's what that means. The dirt of Eretz Yisrael is greater, is more powerful, is more elevated, is more holy. Plug in whatever word you want. Is yoter mishamayim sha'al chutzlaretz. The heavens of chutzlaretz don't compare to the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. The shamayim of chutzlaretz doesn't compare to a rock that sits in its spot for thousands of years in Eretz Yisrael. That rock is accomplishing more than a person who's mamish flying in the Himmel. He's in the clouds of Chutzlaretz. An elevated person. A person who's a spiritual person, who lives a spiritual existence in Chutzlaretz, cannot compare in its Kedusha, in its great Kedusha, to literally the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine such a thing? Why is that so? How can that be? The answer is because everything in the world, as we're going to talk about, everything in the world has two dimensions to it. Our bodies are made up of body and soul. We have an inside and we have an outside. The world at large has an inside and has an outside. So what's the inside of the world and what's the outside of the world? Says Rav Pinchas of Koritz, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, one of the early Talmidim, he only met the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus, one or two times. But he considered himself one of the early Talmidim of Chassidus, of the Baal Shem Tov. He has a sefer called the Medrash Pinchas, a collection of his teachings. He writes, it's called Kuntres Gimel Os Dalet. Bechol davar yesh chitzonius upnimius. Everything has an external expression and has an internal world. Everything has that. Everything. Eretz Yisrael hu pnimius ha'olam. The world at large. What's its outside? What's its inside? Eretz Yisrael is the pnimius of the world. V'chutz la'aretz, hi chitzonius ha'olam. And chutz la'aretz is chitzonius ha'olam. Just reminded now, I think I shared the story with you in the previous year on Yom HaTzmut, whoever was in Stern at the time. Maybe you'll remember the story. There was someone who came to the Mei Sharm area and was trying to get a sense of, you know, what the little children studying in Cheder, not much of a Torah Mada education, right, what they knew about the outside world. So this individual who is, you know, gathering data comes into this classroom and he says to the children, he says, can any of you name a country outside of Eretz Yisrael? Blank stares. Never heard of anything. Can any of you name a country outside of Eretz Yisrael? No one? Nothing? You know, maybe you like heard of America? Nothing. They're staring. All of a sudden, one little boy, his hand shoots up. And this fellow's so excited. He says, yes? No? He says, Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz. That's a country outside of Eretz Yisrael. No? The kid's right, no? The kid's right. Because really, there's the pnimius of the world, which is Eretz Yisrael, and everything else really is Chutz La'aretz. You can call it England, you can call it America, you can call it Australia, but it's all chitzonius. It's all the superficiality of the world. And therefore the Chassam Sofer, who was not a person, who spoke off the cuff, the Chassam Sofer, whose words were precisely calibrated, the Chassam Sofer says that the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, the kark of Eretz Yisrael, is more elevated and more pure and more holy than even the Shemayim on top of Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Achayim. Es aleich lefnei Hashem ba'artzos achayim, David HaMelech says. He calls it artzos achayim. Take a look at the Radak over there at Tehillim, in Kuftas Zayin. The Radak says, you know why Eretz Yisrael is called artzos achayim? They did a study a number of years ago about the ripe old age which people in Bnei Brak lived to. What's happening in Eretz Yisrael? The Radak says that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person more healthy. There's a greater alertness and vitality to a person in Eretz Yisrael. Again, I haven't done the medical studies to prove it to you. But I think most of us who've been to Eretz Yisrael, we feel a little more alert, a little more energized, a little more alive when we're in that land that David HaMelech calls Artzos HaChaim. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, one of the early Hasidic Rebbes who led a group of Aliyah, the first Hasidic group to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1700s, came to Eretz Yisrael, I think it was 1777, came to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon, of course, was also sending groups of Jews to Eretz Yisrael around that same time. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, it's recorded that he said, I can't sleep here. I can't fall asleep at night. He says, the air at Eretz Yisrael is so pure, is so refined, he says, I hear things that I couldn't hear in Chutz La'aretz. There's a spirit to Eretz Yisrael. It's alive. It's the land that doesn't sleep. People think New York City is the city that doesn't sleep. Eretz Yisrael is the land that doesn't sleep. Rav Menachem Mendel Vitebsk said, I hear voices calling out from the Shemayim, telling me, do tshuva. I can't fall asleep at night. Artos Achayim, the pnimius of the Olam, like Rav Pinchas of Korach described. There's an outside and there's an inside to Eretz Yisrael. And what I want to focus on again for the couple minutes that we have left is how can we, who are physically outside of Eretz Yisrael, at least have a kesher to, so to speak, the inside of Eretz Yisrael. Because even within Eretz Yisrael, there's an outside and there's an inside. I could be living in Eretz Yisrael and still have a superficial relationship with Eretz Yisrael. And I could be temporarily in Chutz La'aretz and try to have an internal relationship with Eretz Yisrael. And try to recognize that Eretz Yisrael is the pnimius of the world, and I want to tap into that to whatever degree I can from a distance. To try to have something to do with Eretz Yisrael. To be talking about Eretz Yisrael, to be thinking about Eretz Yisrael, to be dreaming and to be davening about Eretz Yisrael at all times. Chazal tell us in the Medrash that in the merit of Bikurim, in the merit of the first fruits, the Jewish people were zochet Eretz Yisrael. In the merit of the first fruits, the Jews were zochet Eretz Yisrael. What's the problem with that Medrash? The problem is, you have to come to Eretz Yisrael to bring Bikurim. You have to be in Eretz Yisrael to be chayav in bringing the first fruits. The first fruits, the mitzvah of bringing first fruits is of the seven peros of Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean it was in the merit of Bikurim that they came to Eretz Yisrael? It's a very hard Maimer Chazal to understand, and much has been written about it. So I saw an explanation from the current Tolna Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. The Tolna Rebbe Shlita said the following. What does it mean when I bring Bikurim? What type of Jew, how am I expressing myself? What are my values when I become the type of person who brings first fruits? After plowing and planting and working, and now I finally see, as the Mishnayos and Bikurim describe, something's growing on a tree, and I go out and I tie what the Mishnah describes, like the red bendula that you get from the lady at the Kotel. That's what the Mishnah is describing. You tie it around those first fruits to indicate these are Bikurim, and I'm going to take it up to Yerushalayim, I'm going to give it to the Kohen, and recite Psukim, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. What type of Jew am I? If I'm a Bikurim type of Jew, what type of Jew am I? I'm a Jew who recognizes that my success in life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that my connection in life to life itself is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I acknowledge that by bringing Bikurim. So says the Talmud Rabbi the following. Of course you have to be physically in Eretz Yisrael before you could ever be Chayiv and Bikurim. So what does the Medrash say when the Medrash says, in the merit of Bikurim, we came to Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, again, I could be physically in Eretz Yisrael, but I'm not yet fully in Eretz Yisrael. When I develop a Bikurim attitude, when I realize that I'm living in the king's palace, and I see Hashem, and I see His hand in every fruit that's growing, in every stalk of wheat, I see the Yad Hashem, so then I really come to Eretz Yisrael. Then I come to the Pnimius of Eretz Yisrael. I come to the inner essence of Eretz Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Kisava. Kisava, of course, very difficult psukim, painful psukim to read, the Tochacha. There's a pasuk towards the end of the Tochacha, in Dvarim Perachav Ches, that says the following. V'haya kasher sos Hashem aleichem le'itiv aschem u'leharbas aschem. Just like Hashem rejoices with you to increase your lot in the world and to give you good things in the world, so too, Rachmana Litzlan. Hashem sometimes celebrates our downfall. V'nisachta me'al ha'adama asher ata v'ashama l'rishtan. You'll be kicked out of the land. A very painful pasuk. Hashem, with great joy, will sometimes feel a need to throw us out of the land. That's the pasuk in Devarim, Perechav Ches, pasuk Samach Gimel. About 30 psukim earlier, it already describes Jews getting kicked out of the land. Says the Chassam Sofer, why does the Tocha describe us getting kicked out of the land twice? Go back to pasuk Lamed Vav. Yoleich Hashem oscha ve'es malkecha asher takim alecha el goy asher lo yadata. The Jews and their king will be thrown out of the land. So how many times are we getting thrown out of the land? What is the pasuk describing in pasuk Samach Gimel when it already told us in pasuk Lam and Vav that the Jews are going to be kicked out of the land? Explains the Chassam Sofer. Because again, what does it mean to be in Eretz Yisrael? And it's something that again gives us a small nechama from a distance. If I can't be physically in Eretz Yisrael, can I at least maintain an outlook on Hashkafas Eretz Yisrael? Can I retain an attitude of Eretz Yisrael? Can I put on those Eretz Yisrael glasses and see things the way that Eretz Yisrael wants me to see things? Says the Chassam Sofer, there's two levels of getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. You can be physically kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, but you know what's even more tragic than that? When you've abandoned the outlook of Eretz Yisrael. When you don't see Eretz Yisrael as essential, as part of Klal Yisrael's history, a part of world history. The Sfas Emes writes in his writings on Shas, in Maseches Zevachim, if a Kohen is sitting in the Beis HaMikdash and he falls asleep and he wakes up, he has to wash his hands and he has to wash his feet again, the way that a Kohen does when he enters the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? He never left the Beis HaMikdash. Why does he have to wash his hands and feet again? The answer is because when he was sleeping, he left the Beis HaMikdash. Not physically, but spiritually, he left the Beis HaMikdash in those moments. The same thing is true with Eretz Yisrael. You can be physically in Eretz Yisrael. You can be spiritually in Eretz Yisrael. And obviously the ideal is that we do both. But unfortunately, you could be physically in Eretz Yisrael, not really connected to the spirit of Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes, until you're zochet to come physically to Eretz Yisrael, you can at least try to desperately hold on to what? To a hashkafas Eretz Yisrael, to an outlook of Eretz Yisrael. To have the eyesight of an Eretz Yisrael approach to the world. And that's the normality that we have to hold on to. What is average? What is normal? Like we spoke about earlier. We live in a world where there's a lot of abnormal. That what the world calls normal, we call very average. Very average. Way below the standards that the Jewish people want to live by. And therefore, we have to define our normal through Eretz Yisrael. Through a land where everything is kadosh. Where everything has meaning and everything has purpose. And nothing is inconsequential. That everything has purpose and everything is influenced by the Yad Hashem. That I plow and I plant and everything that I do, every move that I take is a mitzvah. Every breath of air that I breathe in Eretz Yisrael, like the Gemara says, makes a person wise. Everything about it is purposeful. That's normal. That's what God wants from this world. That everything should have a purpose. That everything should be used in a way. God forbid a person comes to Chutz La'aretz and doesn't even realize that not only am I not in Eretz Yisrael, but I don't even think Eretz Yisrael dick anymore. That's the greatest tragedy of all. Then you've experienced the double gullus that's being described in the Tocha that the Chassam Sofer picked up on. It says in Parshas Vayelech, Va'anochi haster astir panai bayom ahu. The Torah describes a time that may come, God forbid, where Anochi haster astir panai bayom ahu. A double expression of concealment. Haster astir. What is this double concealment? Writes the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the Degel Machane Ephraim, in Parshas Sav. Shamati me Adoni Avi Zekeni. I heard from my grandfather Zecher Tzadik Levracha Lachay Olam Haba. What does it mean? Vanochi Haster Astir. What does it mean to experience a double concealment, my friends? This is very tragic. And at the very least, if we can't be in Eretz Yisrael right now, we can at least be spiritually in Eretz Yisrael right now. We can be Eretz Yisrael dick right now. Listen to the danger of the double hastara. Ki kesha adam eini odeya sheyesh hastara. When a person doesn't even realize that he's in galus. When I've gotten so comfortable with it that I don't even realize that I'm living in an environment where Hashem's presence, where Hashem's expression is concealed, is hidden. Bevadai eino tov. That is not a good thing, to say it nicely, says the Degel Machane Ephraim. Because you think everything is fine and you don't feel a need to change. This is working. Chutz Laretz is working. There's a lot of beautiful things in Chutz Laretz. There's so much as a religious Jew that we need to be thankful for living in America in the year 2016 and Tafshin Ayin Vav. There is so much. And there's so many good things happening for Klal Yisrael in Chutz Laretz. And yet, if I start to think that this is the new normal, that this is normal for Klal Yisrael, then something's really off. And then I've allowed myself to develop that double hastar, that double concealment. Vanochi haster astir. Aval, says the Baal Shem Tov, at least kishiyodeya sheyesh hastara umargish b'nafsho. At least if I come to this day and I attach myself to Eretz Yisrael with a bittersweet feeling of a tremendous sense of connection to Eretz Yisrael and a good feeling. That's an uncomfortable feeling, but I'm not there. And that bothers me. And that's a good feeling. That's the right feeling for a Jew in Washington Heights, New York in 2016, when the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael is certainly much more accessible than it's been at maybe any point of Jewish history. And I'm not quite there yet. That's a bittersweet feeling. Even if I feel connected to Eretz Yisrael, even if I want to get there, it's a bittersweet feeling. But at least I know the truth. At least I've maintained the proper normal. A true definition of normal. Then I dive into Hashem the way that Moshe begged Hashem. You think Moshe needed Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is yes and no. At the end of the day, Hashem said, no, you don't need it. But Moshe felt, I can't achieve a sense of normalcy in my life without Eretz Yisrael. I can't be Moshe. I can't achieve my life's mission without Eretz Yisrael. Says the Baal Shem Tov in conclusion, V'zehu Anochi Haster. This is the Anochi Haster Haster. The Anochi Haster, where what? Where it's so hidden that you don't even realize it's hidden. Where Hashem is so hidden you don't even realize He's hiding. At least if I know Hashem's hiding, I can still seek Him out, I can still try to find Him. But if Hashem becomes so hidden that I don't even realize that He's hiding anymore, that it doesn't bother me anymore, that unfortunately is a terrible tragedy. When a person develops an idealism about Chutz Laretz, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And at the very least, we have to continue to try to see things in Eretz Yisrael dik way. What does it mean that Eretz Yisrael, we say in benching, Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Chemda, Tova, Urchava. Eretz Yisrael is an expansive land, it's Rechava. Is Eretz Yisrael so Rechava? Not such a big place. Physically, Eretz Yisrael is not such a big place at all. Many Svarim write on this question. What does it mean that Eretz Yisrael, Chemda, I understand, Tova, I understand, Rechava, it's so big? It's a pretty small slice of land in the Middle East. What does it mean it's Rechava? So I saw this year in Rav Zalman Saratskin, in his Haggadah Shal Pesach called Hashir VaHashevach, he quotes a Medrash Haggadah. Rav Saratskin says, Rechava, the Medrash says, Shemarchivin Daito Shal Adam. You know what Eretz Yisrael does for a Jew? It expands our consciousness. It allows us to see the world in a broader and bigger way. And he says, I'll give you two examples. The Gemara says, that I mentioned a moment ago, Gemara Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Ches, when you breathe in the air of Eretz Yisrael, Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machir. Literally, living in Eretz Yisrael gives a person the air, there's something, again, it's hard to explain what it is, but there's something in the air that broadens one's perspective. You become your heart becomes expanded in Eretz Yisrael. Your mind becomes expanded in Eretz Yisrael. Rechava, he quotes another Maimon Chazal. The Gemara in Gittin says Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaTzvi, just like the skin of a deer can stretch as it grows, even though it's very tightly wrapped around its body, so too Eretz Yisrael can always expand itself, can make more room. It's such a small place, but there's always more room. One of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was that Omdim Tzvufim, like it says in Pirkei Avos, they stood crowded together, but when it was time to bow down, there was plenty of room. There's always room for more people in Eretz Yisrael. But the idea of Rechava, going back to the Medrash that he quoted to start, is that it's Marchiv and Daito Shalata. That Eretz Yisrael gives a person a broad outlook. And therefore we have to hold on to our outlook that's very Eretz Yisraelic. I brought along a piece. I want to give out a little Yom HaTzmaut gift to everyone. That's something you could take. You can come on, just pass it around. one alert for a small piece inside. Again, it's something you can take home. You can hang it up on your wall. You can put it on your fridge. It can help you to make sure that you don't take off the Eretz Yisrael glass. It's a tiny little piece of Torah. Again, from Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the Talmud of Rav Kook. Rav Charlap, many of his svarim were put out under the broader title of Meimarim. And he has a volume called Mima'ayane HaYeshua. Unbelievable things that he writes about Eretz Yisrael, about the end of days. And he writes in Perek Memhei a piece called Hanukuda HaIkarit. What is the central point? What's the ikar? What's the main thing? What's the main point? Let's read together. And again, you'll take it and you'll think about it. You'll work on it. He says that at all points in history, there's always a main thing. In any environment, in any social setting, in any historical setting, there's always something major that's happening. There's a main thing. What's the main thing that's happening in our time? Look what he writes. V'chol t'kufa u'tkufa yeshna nekuda miyuchedes sh'derech ha'nekuda ha'hi meyer kol ha'tov u'mitocha misnotesim kol kiyume ha'torah v'amitzos sh'betkufa ha'hi. At every period, throughout history, there's a nekuda miyuchedes. There's some special point, some focus, that from that point, all goodness radiates. Umisocha, again, second line. Umisocha, from within it, misnotesim, emerges, blossoms, kol kiyume ha'torah v'amitzos. Shebetekufa ahi. A proper understanding of this thing sets the tone for all of the other aspects of what it means to be a Jew at a particular time. Sheyodim heim sheim ya'akvu ba'ad hafrachasa shel hanakuda ahi yimnu b'zeh kol hashpas ha'ora v'akedusha shabad derech hatzinur halizeh. And it's understood, whether it's understood actively or more passively, consciously or subconsciously, it's understood by those who oppose the Jewish people that if we could just stop the Jews from getting this, then we could stop everything. Because this is the Nakuda, the capital Hey, Hanakuda. This is the Ikar that dictates all of the Hashpa. Again, very, very beautiful poetic language that Rav Kook and Rav Chalap would use. Zichronam Levracha. They use these beautiful lishonos of light, of kedusha, of shining out to the whole world. But it comes from what? It comes from that inner point. And through that tzinor, what's a tzinor? Through that pipeline, through that channel, right? All hashpa, all good things come to Klal Yisrael, to the world at large. So he says, for example, in the second paragraph, Hanakuda ikaris v'amakor shemimenu shavu Yisrael eschaya kedusha shalhem b'yamei hachashmonaim. What were the main things in the period of the Hashmonaim that the Hashmonaim had to fight for? What were the three things that Chazal identified that our enemies tried to stop? Because that was the tzinor, that was the pipeline. That was the means of establishing a connection between heaven and earth at that time. What were the three things? Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. Right, Rav Charlap. Haisa b'dvarim shebehem iskala hisyachdusam sheyisrael, kamo mitzvahs Mila. Mila marks a Jew as different. As different, as special in that way. His body is changed. Shabbos, the Gemara says, goyish shavas chayev miso. Shabbos is beinu vein b'nei Yisrael. It's very intimate. It's a private relationship that we have with Hashem that is uniquely ours. Chodesh, the power of Chodesh, the power of our ability to influence the heavenly spheres, to again have that unique and private one-on-one relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the decisions being made by the Beis Din below are impacting the decisions that are being made on high. And therefore, that's what the Hashmonaim had to fight for. They fought for Shabbos, they fought for Chodesh, they fought for Mila. That was their fight. So what's our fight? You don't have to study the news a lot to understand that Eretz Yisrael is always, 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 in this final tekufa before the coming of Mashiach, Eretz Yisrael is always at the center of everything that's happening in the world. Sometimes it's more obvious, and sometimes it's, again, it's a little more detached. But if you look carefully, you see everything is centered around Eretz Yisrael. Everything is centered around Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he writes by the hour. Uve'ikvus of the Mashiach. In those days, as we take the final footsteps towards the coming of the Gula Shlema, Hanakuda Ikarit hi Eretz Yisrael, the central point from which all goodness is going to flow to the Jewish people and to the world at large, it all comes from Eretz Yisrael. That central point is Eretz Yisrael. Umimena noveya hakol. Everything flows from it. Umibiladeya is achzus ba. Without attaching ourselves deeply to it, ein shum hashpa shel kedusha b'olam. The world becomes abnormal. The world shuts down. The world cannot function in a healthy way, the way that God wants it to function. The ein pela, It shouldn't be surprising to us then that so often in this final period before the coming of Mashiach, we are battling, we are constantly fighting for Eretz Yisrael, trying to justify as if we have any ownership over the land, let alone the sole ownership of the land. It's not surprising, says Rav Chalap, that this is constantly a struggle, constantly a fight. Rav Chalap passed away in 1951, just to give us a clear context of when this was. And therefore, the nations of the world tried to stop us from attaching ourselves to it. V'chol kovid ha'isnagdus shalahem, hi be'ikar al ha'nekuda hazos. And everything that we're fighting for today revolves around this point. And therefore, on a day like today, where a shocking thing happened, my wife sent me, she showed me, she saw online, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg sent out a message, right, that if you have any like lack of appreciation for today, just picture for a second, just try imagining for a moment, if today, if the United Nations were to take a vote, if there would be a Jewish state. Let's just think about that for a second. Right? How likely is that? This is a crazy bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And now we have to continue to make sure that we appreciate it. And continue to nurture it, both b'chitonius u'b'pnimius, to make sure that what? That it's the main point of our lives. That it becomes something that we're focused on. That my whole life is centered around what it means to be an Eretz Yisrael. I want to conclude with just one other bit of advice that I saw this year in the Shem Mishmuel. And I think it's a tremendous chizuk. Maybe you'll say it's a bit apologetic for us Chutz La'aretz Jews, but I think it's a tremendous chizuk. There's an idea from the Baal Shem Tov that was developed again by many of the early writers of Chassidus and Tzaddikim of Chassidus, that wherever your mind is, that's where you are. That emotionally, mentally, wherever I attach myself, that's where I really am. And there's examples even in halacha, how a person can place himself, so to speak, out of body, at a distance, even if he's not physically there. So listen to what the Shem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sukachev, brings in the name of his father in Parshas Lech Lecha. V'chein hu b'chol Yisrael, afilu yoshvei chutz la'aretz. Hopefully, at the very least, while we're still stranded outside physically of Eretz Yisrael, at least the yoshvei chutz la'aretz should realize, me'acher shekol tfilasam hi derech artsam, if we would just recognize, not only today, but every day, that my Shemona Esrei is all about Eretz Yisrael. How many times is Shemona Esrei? How many places are we asking Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Kibbutz Galios? So much of the language of Tefillah is about Eretz Yisrael. And my Tefillos travel by way of Eretz Yisrael. U'mispalin tamid al aliyas Yisrael artzeinu. U'leteto sana begvuleinu, that we should be implanted once again within the land. Therefore, if that's what I'm thinking about all the time, not when I'm davening Shemona Esrei on autopilot, but when I really get into my Shemona Esrei and say, wow, look how much of davening is about Eretz Yisrael. Then my mind is in Eretz Yisrael, then my speech is in Eretz Yisrael, then my hopes and dreams are in Eretz Yisrael. And then, as the Baal Shem Tov says, the place where your mind is, that's really where you are. That defines. You're taking your inner essence, you're taking your neshama, and you're putting it in Eretz Yisrael. My body might still be in Chutz La'aretz. My body might be on the fifth floor of First in Washington Heights, New York, on the beautiful Wolf campus, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. But at the very least, my neshama is in Eretz Yisrael. My heart and soul are in Eretz Yisrael. I'll just conclude with a story. I was taking my daughter to carpool one Friday morning, Parshas Noach, this past year. And I ended up behind a car, right in front of me in the carpool line, with the following license plate. It said, YRSHLYM. Yerushalayim. I need to buy a couple vowels. Right? But Yerushalayim. Very nice. A Yerushalayim license plate. And I was thinking, on the top, right above the Yerushalayim, it says, New York, because it's a New York license plate. And right below Yerushalayim, it says, the Empire State. Right? It says New York again. Yet sandwiched in the middle was Yerushalayim. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I might be surrounded above and below, right? Physically, find myself in New York. But what's on the inside? Where at least is my heart? Where is my speech? Where are my tefillos? Where is my focus? What am I doing for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael? What am I doing for myself as a Jew, whose very essence belongs and will eventually come back to Eretz Yisrael, Mir Tzashem? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, at the very least, to maintain, from a distance, this Eretz Yisraelic perspective. To understand that Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Tova Urechava, it's an expansive land, like Rav Zalman Sorotzkin said. To be able to see the broader picture of what it means to be a Jew. And to hang on to this Nekuda, that again, the Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, tells us, is the Nekuda that we have to keep at the focus of our existence in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. And then Amir Tzashem, if we can make sure that we maintain that proper outlook, that proper Hashkafas Eretz Yisrael, then Amir Tzashem will all be Zocha, not only to be there in spirit, but to return to Eretz Yisrael, Meher B'Yameinu Amen.